you noticed I'm not the pastor. I'm the big, old, fat guy. This is our pastor down here. But it is good that he shares his pulpit with me. I know his heart, and I know that he doesn't back off and back out of the pulpit for just anyone. So I am honored that he would allow me to stand here in and fill his pulpit, or God's pulpit, however you want to look at it, and share the Word of God with you. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? It's going to be from John chapter 1, if you have your Bibles. I think we'll have it on the screen, maybe here in a second, but John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version of the Scripture. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following, and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said, "Come, and you will see." They came therefore and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, there's a mouthful there. Andrew was always known as Simon Peter's brother. Have you ever known anyone, or maybe you have been known as so-and-so's brother? Well, that was Andrew. He had the same feelings, I'm sure, that some of you have had. He found first, now after this, verse 41, he found first his own brother Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You're Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Would you bow with me in prayer? And Brother Clay, would you pray for me this morning? I don't know whether you have noticed or not, but I'm sure you have. We're living in a post-Christian world. And it seems to me that as a nation, we're rapidly following suit. If you look at Christianity in Western Europe, the foundation place of Western Christianity, you will find less than 2% of the population that is connected to any church. And I'm talking about connected to any church. I'm not talking about attendance. I'm talking about the fact that they have their name on a church roll, they're connected in any way, so much less than 2% of the population is in attendance at any Christian church in Western Europe today. And as we look at our own nation, we find that unless things change, it will not be long until that same thing can be said about the United States of America. That is, if the Lord tarries, is coming. We're headed down that same road. There are fewer and fewer people connected with any church in America today, and of those who are connected, there is a very small percentage of those people who are found in worship on any Sunday morning in any Christian church. So what's the answer? What are we going to do? How do we turn the tide? How do we turn this battleship around and get it headed back in the right direction? Well, I believe we have to get back to the basics of what the Christian life is all about. There are those who would say that there are five basic functions of the church today. And those functions are, number one, evangelism, number two, discipleship, number three, ministry, number four, fellowship, and number five, worship. Now, what is it that is at the top of that list? What did I say? Evangelism. And that is not by accident. Because you see, without evangelism, there would be no one to disciple. Without evangelism, there would be no one to do ministry. Without evangelism, there would be no fellowship. And without evangelism, there would be no one here to worship. Because you see, each of us came to Christ through evangelism of some kind. Somebody told us about Jesus. And that's exactly what evangelism is all about. It is pointing men, women, boys, and girls to the Savior. John the Baptist, the first part of this scripture that I read to you is about John the Baptist. Why did he come? He came as the forerunner of Jesus. He came to gain disciples. And then when Jesus began his public ministry, John pointed to him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And they turned and began to follow Jesus. That's what John's life was all about. He came for that purpose. And I believe with all of my heart, if God sent John into the world with the specific purpose of pointing men and women to Jesus, we have no other task that is before us than to do the same thing. If you go back into the Old Testament, from Moses on, every prophet pointed men and women to the Savior, the Messiah who was to come, the Anointed One. If you look at the New Testament, every disciple, every apostle who was born again by the Spirit of God was given the task of reaching men and women and pointing them to Jesus. So why would we think that our task would be anything different from that? If we think that, we're wrong. Because that is the task that has been given to every born-again believer in Christ. You are to point men and women to Jesus Christ. You're to point to them to Jesus as the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one promised to Abraham by God Almighty. You're to point them to Jesus, who is the Son of God, born of a virgin, having God as his father and woman as his mother. He was the eternal God-man. As really God as though he were never man, and as really man as though he were never God, and yet he was both the eternal God-man. We need to point men and women to Jesus Christ, the one who came and took our sins and died in our place
on the cross of Christ, a substitutionary death. I should have been there. You should have been there. But Jesus was there for every man, woman, and child, tasting not only physical death, but spiritual death for every man, woman, and child who would believe on him. Why else would he have said as he hung there on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He tasted spiritual death. We need to point men and women to that Jesus. That Jesus. The one who was buried and for 3 days stayed in the grave and then arose from the dead and after 40 days ascended back to the right hand of the Father. That's the Jesus we're to point men and women to. Now, Andrew shows us the how. How do we do it? He said, the Bible says that he first found his own brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah. First, not only in time, but in priority. First, it had become a passion of his, somehow in meeting the Messiah, somehow in coming and staying with the Messiah for a day, somehow in coming face to face with the Jesus of history. Somehow he had caught a vision and he had the passion to find Simon and bring him to Jesus. Beloved, that's got to happen in our day and age. This is not the pastor's job. It's our job. Every born-again child of God has been placed here with a purpose, and you're here as one who points men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ. We've got to regain the passion. If evangelism is not our passion, we've missed it somewhere. We've got to understand that out there in our world, those that we come into contact with every day, they're dying and going to hell because somebody hasn't had the passion to share with them Jesus and point them to the Savior. We've got to regain the passion. The passion. And that passion for evangelism begins where? Begins in the home. It begins in the home. The Bible said that Andrew found his brother. It was not only a passion of his, but he understood that his brother was on a road crash course with hell itself. If somebody didn't touch his life, if somebody didn't present to him Jesus, if somebody didn't say, we found the Messiah and here he is, then he was going to die without Christ and without hope in our world. Do we understand that evangelism begins in the home? And I know how hard it is to evangelize within your family. It's hard. You know why? Because family knows us like nobody else. They know all of our shortcomings. They see all of our slip-ups and our stumbles. They hear all of our words. And they know us like no one else knows us. But folks, family needs Jesus. And we need to begin at home. In our scriptures, in Acts, the Bible tells us that
that in speaking, Jesus speaking about the coming of the Holy Spirit and about evangelism said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the world." Did you hear that? In Jerusalem, that's family. That's family. Because you see, Jerusalem was the center of Jewish life. That's where family was. And that's the hub around which family revolved. It's got to begin with family. Maybe we think because they're not a bad person, or maybe we think because they were connected to us or connected to a church through us, that everything's all right. That doesn't make it right between them and God. Evangelize your family, folks. Reach out and say to them, "I have found the Messiah, and here he is." Share your testimony. Tell what God has done in your life. Own up to the fact that you make mistakes and that you're human. They know it anyway. But tell them, you know, the Savior who forgives and who wipes our slate clean so that we can stand tall before the throne of God. Point them to Jesus. He'll do the rest. And point them to Jesus to the extent that they want to just not just see and then go. They want to see and they want to stay. They want to stay. Did you see what happened when the two disciples who were there saw Jesus? They said, "Where are you staying?" He said, "Come and see." And the Bible says they went and they saw the place and they stayed with him that day. You see, salvation is more than just an experience that spans a few minutes or a few hours. It is an experience that stays with us for a lifetime and makes us want to stay with the Master. And what's the result? Well, he tells us Simon Peter, he said, went and found where he went and saw where he would stay, and Jesus looked at him and said in verse 42, "You're Simon." Isn't that amazing that Jesus already knew who he was? And he knows who you are. You don't have to tell him. He knows. And he knows where you are. Not only physically, but spiritually, in your relationship with God. He knows. He said, "You're Simon. You're Simon, the son of John. I know your father. I know your family. I know where you came from. I know your background. I know every thing that you have dealt with from the beginning of your life to now. I know it all." But he said, "You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. You see, a changed name means a changed life. In Tanzania, where we served for almost 20 years as missionaries, this was something in many of the cultures there and among many of the tribes that took place. When a person became a Christian, they changed their name. Why? Because something magnificent had happened in their heart and in their life, And they wanted people to understand that they were no longer the same. They'd been changed from the inside out. That's the picture here. He said, you're not Simon anymore. You're Peter, the rock. You're Peter. Because he wanted everybody to understand that connection that comes through salvation that Peter had experienced would change him, and Peter would never be the same again. You see, pointing people to Jesus is something we need to do. But we need to take them there as Andrew did and help them to know that the Christian life is a life-changing experience that would go with them from that day through the end of the ages and beyond. We need a passion. We've lost that passion. The church has lost her passion for evangelism. Why are there not more people in our churches today? Because those of us who are here are not using the power of God that is within us to reach out and evangelize the lost. You see, transfer of membership, that's not church growth. You can move from one church to another. But I can tell you, going from one church to another, every church that I've ever seen and every church that I know is made up of people. And do you know what I know about people? We're imperfect. And when you go from one church to another, all you're doing is changing locations because the people are still the same. But when you reach a lost person and bring them into the family of God, that's church growth. That's when the family of God has changed tremendously. And that's what we need to be about as the people of God. Many say, well, I don't know how. I don't know how to evangelize. Well, we're going to teach you how. That'll begin this Wednesday night. If you don't know how to share your faith, come. We'll show you how. That's what it's all about. It's helping you get that passion and share your faith with those who are lost. How many of us move around every day and rub shoulders and shake hands and speak to people that we know have no relationship to Christ? Most of us. Those people are going to hell. Family, you sit around the table with them. If they don't know Jesus, they're going to hell. Until we understand the depths of sin and understand the righteousness of God, we'll never get that vision and passion to reach the lost. We need it today. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you again today, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus, for the difference that he's made in each of our lives. And help us, Lord, to catch that vision again for reaching the lost and bringing them to the Savior. Help us to be the church as we've never been the church before. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. The pastor's going to be here. If you have a decision you need to make, maybe you're here and you've never heard the gospel till this morning. It's about coming face to face with Jesus and staying.
It's about receiving Him into your heart and life as Savior and Lord. It's about experiencing His forgiveness. It's about beginning a lifetime of fellowship with the Master. Or maybe you're here, you're looking for a church hall. Maybe you're here and you need to come and pray about revival in your own heart and life. This is your opportunity to do that. So as we sing, you come.